have the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom of two who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Creeves, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from a full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
Hey everyone, we're back with season two after a nice long summer hiatus. It was lovely and we're glad we took some time off, but we're also so glad to be back in the podcasting seat.
Yeah, and we're actually going to do a mini season for the next few episodes where we'll do quick interviews with a few previous guests who have gone through some big life changes since we last talked to them.
We definitely want to know how those changes have affected their creativity, and we bet you want to know too.
So, welcome to season two of the Chasing Creative Podcast. Before we jump in with talking to our guests, we wanted to catch you up on what's been happening in our own lives since we talked about taking a creative break over our summer hiatus. So, Abby, how have you spent your summer vacation?
Oh, goodness, there is a lot that I have done during my summer vacation. Do you ever like look back at the last 3 or 4 months and you're like, how do I even discuss what has gone on?
Yeah, sometimes I look back at things and I'm like, wow, I did all that. It was a blur and I don't even know what happened.
Is this where we're like turning into our parents where they say like, it just goes faster as you get older?
Yeah, probably.
That's no good. So like I set out to do before the summer began, Scott and I are building a house, which has come with it a lot of emotional ups and downs, and just a lot of time. I actually thought like it would kind of be a set it and forget it process. Like I sign the checks and other people like make this thing rise from the ground. And that has not entirely been the case. I've had to be probably like the main decision maker as far as like, what are we going to use for this? This isn't going to work out the way that it was supposed to originally. So how do you want to do it differently? And like those kinds of things. And so that's been kind of like mentally exhausting a lot of the time.
That sounds like a bunch of decision fatigue just waiting to happen.
Exactly. And like, I even thought like, oh, we have everything picked out. We're just ready to go without thinking about like, oh yeah, we have to go shopping for light fixtures and we have to pick out appliances and like all those things. Like you just take for granted, like I'm going to have a washer and dryer, but then you have to like go and make decisions based on finances and availability and features. And it's all just a lot.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I've really liked following along with the progress of your house on Instagram, which everybody else should check out too. It's kind of cool to see it go from like hole in the ground to hey, there's walls there.
Exactly. So, and this week while we're chatting, we're getting siding. The siding is going on, so it actually looks like a house and not just like a random box wrapped in plastic.
Yes, and siding is a good thing to have before it starts snowing and getting cold out, which will be any time now, so that
exactly.
is good
because we live in the upper Midwest, so.
Yes.
Here we are. So
yeah,
what about yourself? How have you filled the summer hours?
Right, so I had another kid, which was a large undertaking.
Understatement.
Yeah, so we wrapped up recording in I think June or the end of May, and I had Reagan on August 5th, and now it's early October and we're picking up recording again. So about half of our break was spent with me anticipating having a baby, and the other half has been spent adjusting to a newborn schedule again and like, oh, that's right, I'm sleep deprived all the time and I don't have any sort of a routine anymore. So it's been a bit of an adjustment working through that, but it's always kind of a relief to get out of that third trimester of pregnancy because this really strange thing happens where like the last month, all you can think about is like the baby and giving birth and like every single symptom you think something's wrong or you think you're going into labor or there's just so many things taking over your brain at that point. And it's just nice to be like, baby's here, baby's safe, now we can move on.
Yeah, kind of a little bit more settled, at least. Like, obviously life is crazy and chaotic, but you kind of know day to day what's going to happen from now on. You're not magically going to be in the hospital tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. And you have kind of a big announcement about that, too.
I do. So in addition to building a house, we have decided to undertake building a baby as well. A little bit of a surprise for Scott and I this summer. So in addition to battling all of those lovely emotional ups and downs of home building, it has also come with a large dash of pregnancy hormones. So we're expecting and due in early April. So we got a few months left to go here.
Yeah, but the good news is that building a baby goes completely on autopilot. So even though you'll be exhausted because your body knows it's doing lots of work, you don't actually have to do any work. It just happens.
It's true. You just have to show up to all of those annoying doctor's appointments.
Yeah, that is kind of a problem. It takes over your schedule completely.
So I booked out appointments through like next January, which is a little ridiculous and maybe anal retentive, but I figured then I get the time slots I want that work around my work schedule. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I booked out all my appointments like all the way up to my due date in one shot because it was going into summer and summer vacations and stuff. And I was like, nope, I'm just going to book them all.
You guarantee that the doctor's going to be in the office when you need them to be, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, so that is our big news, which means that kind of like when we hustled to go ahead and get the podcast ready to go before Ashley went on maternity leave, we're kind of doing a little mini season here. So our house isn't done yet. We were anticipating the house to be done by now. So I could, you know, record in a house instead. I'm recording in a friend's basement at the moment. So going to do just a quick mini season, kind of catch up with some of our old guests before we take another small hiatus and figure out when we're going to start recording again. So we have got some ups and downs, and life is a little crazy, and we're just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah, and we thought this would kind of be a fun thing to do because a couple of you mentioned in your survey that you wanted to follow up and see what our past guests were up to now, and that we had so many changes in the last couple of months that it stands to reason that some of our guests had some also large things going on in their lives, and in fact, some of them did. So we're pretty excited to be catching up with them over the next couple of weeks with you guys and showing you what awesome creative stuff they've been up to lately. So we also wanted to catch you up on the work and creative projects that we've been doing in addition to our personal projects, building houses, having babies, etc. We did also have goals for work and for our creative life as well. And that's sort of what our creative break was for, was giving ourselves a chance to maybe do some of those things we didn't normally have time for. And I don't know about you, Abby, but I found that I actually didn't have time to do a lot of those things.
I am kind of in the same boat over here. Like I said, that first trimester of pregnancy exhaustion just kind of knocked me out most nights and weekends when I got home from work. And so I didn't read literary books, and I haven't written maybe even a word all summer long. Just been kind of taking summer and each day as it goes. Is that kind of how you've been doing it as well?
Yeah, pretty much. I have done more reading than I normally would have because when you're up at night with a baby and it's 3 a.m, why not?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I've been doing a lot of reading, mostly like some sort of lighter books, things you don't have to think too hard about because, again, it's 3 a.m.
Yes.
But I didn't really consider reading more to be one of my creative goals. I was hoping that I would write more or maybe that I would read books related to the craft of writing, and none of that happened. So I wouldn't consider our break a failure by any means. Like, I think we definitely needed the time away from the podcast to handle the other things going on in our life.
Yes, that would have been too much. So it was good to at least have like one thing just completely taken off of our plates.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped blogging for the summer too, mm-hmm. which helped a lot, partly because I don't really have a reliable internet at the moment. So like not having to podcast and not having to coordinate interviews and not having to blog all summer and just kind of giving myself a lovely like ticket out of all of those things made, I think, kind of set me up so that I wouldn't be quite as like irritated with myself when all I wanted to do when I came home from work was like sleep on the couch.
Yes, exactly. And do you have any plans for getting back to blogging then? Like, because I know the transition times are kind of what's weird, right? So, like, you decide you're going to take a break, and then you start taking your break, and then all of a sudden you realize that at some point you should go back and, like, transition back into that and get back in that habit. So do you have any sort of a plan for making that happen?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to get a first blog out maybe this week. It's early October. I know we're recording in early October here. And I am actually on a week of vacation from work. So I'm hoping that maybe I can at least maybe do a roundup of like some of the books that I read and have like a nice ease into the blogging world again. I think that's a pretty easy blog to pull together without a whole lot of brain power. So that is my plan here in the next couple weeks is to start doing that again.
Yeah, that should be good. And blogging is one thing that I thought I was going to take a break from over my maternity leave, and I ended up not needing to because I had so many posts lined up already that I was like, oh, I actually don't need to take a blogging break. So I just kept putting out posts, and I'm kind of working ahead for myself now. And surprisingly, I feel pretty good about that. So again, with creative breaks, sometimes I guess you just need to go with the flow because I really thought I wasn't going to want to blog. And as it turned out, I was sort of missing it. I think I would have wanted to be back in that space if I had totally taken away from it. So it's good to have still had that continuation of like normal life, even while the rest of my routine is totally up in the air right now.
Yeah, that one nice like routine thing that you can kind of count on each week is always good for sanity's sake.
Yes, exactly. And then we had said that we were going to maybe work on like some work projects as well over the summer. Did you have anything like that that you were focusing on?
A little bit here and there. I've been chatting with someone to help do some book publicity for a book that they're writing. Nice. And then also ended up booking a wedding for next summer for photography. So that was kind of fun. So doing, you know, some of those initial feelers kind of thing, but nothing too in depth, which was good. I think it was like a good amount of work to do over the summer that kind of got me excited about the future and about next year and that sort of thing without being a huge time burden right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really great way to ease into it. And oftentimes those like getting started moments are the most fun part anyway. So that's kind of a fun way to spend your summer anyway, is like having all these little highs and not having to deal with any of the gross details of getting into the work.
Absolutely. Or actually doing the work, which is always the hardest part.
So. Yes, as we all know.
What about you? Did you work on any like actual work projects or did you take a true maternity leave this summer?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time before I went on this maternity leave talking about how like freelancers need maternity leave and freelancers shouldn't like sell themselves short when it comes to like spending time at home and spending time with their baby and taking a break. And then I went and jumped like right back into work almost immediately. I took the full month of August off, and I took most of July off because I was convinced that Reagan was going to come early. She did not. She came on her due date, but I thought she was going to come early. So I basically blocked off most of July. I got all my work done during the first 2 weeks, and then the second half of July, I sort of just twiddled my thumbs. So in that sense, I did take 6 weeks off, 4 weeks after baby, 2 weeks before. And then I sort of jumped back into a couple of easy client projects in September. And now that it's October, I'm jumping back in with my biggest client. And I've got a couple other projects here. And it's really looking like my schedule's filling up. And I was planning on not doing a thing until November. But it's turned out to be good because I was a lot more emotionally stable after this delivery than I was after having Hadley. And that's not something that you're going to know until you have your baby. Because after having Hadley, I went back to work after 6 weeks and I was not ready to. So I'm glad that I gave myself the option to take time off if I wanted to. But then it turns out that I really missed working this time around. So I just jumped right back into client projects.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, you kind of planned for what you thought might be, you know, the worst, quote unquote. And things were better, and you felt like getting back into work sooner than what you had thought. So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's just tough with babies because they're so unpredictable. Like, you have no control over when they're going to arrive or how your labor and delivery is going to go. Like, I mean, you can write a birth plan, but like anyone who's ever had a kid knows that your birth plan does not really matter. Like, your baby and medical circumstances are going to determine what happens. So it's just sort of a lesson in, like, you can't control everything and you just have to go with it.
Yeah, and for those of us who are, you know, the planner type A individuals, that's a little scary looking down that road right now. But
yeah,
we'll get there. We'll get one day at a time.
Yeah, you'll get through it. It's, I don't know, babies are just like God's way of showing you that, like, really, you are in control over nothing, but he's got it. It's okay.
Always a good reminder for us mere mortals. So,
of course, we would be remiss if we did not talk at least a little bit about the books that we read over the summer. So I know you had said that you were planning on reading Middlemarch, but what ended up happening for you for your summer reading?
Yeah, I did not read Middlemarch. Like you said, I just could not get into such like a heavy literary classic with the amount of brain power that I had, or didn't have, rather. So I ended up reading just kind of a lot of books for fun, or that people recommended, or for book club, or a different kind of lighter stuff. So I really ended up loving two books that I really, really loved that I read over the summer were Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. I don't know if anyone is into, you know, that sci-fi kind of novel here, but this was a really, really fun novel. It was sci-fi, but it had like a really great emotional thread to it. And I thought that was like the perfect combination. So I don't know. Do you read much sci-fi, Ashley?
Not really, no. But I've heard that one recommended so many times by a couple of people whose opinion I really, really trust that I think I am going to add it, of course, to the giant never-ending list. But because I have been reading a lot more fiction lately than I normally would, I'll probably get to it sooner rather than later.
Well, excellent. I was going to say, the other one that I read was one that you had recommended, which was Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. And it was fabulous. And the sequel is out now. Should be out now.
Yeah, I think it just came out a couple days ago. And I'm like dying for my place in the library hold line to come up because I had debated on pre-ordering it, and then I was like, no, I should just get it from the library, and now I'm like, okay, come on, people, read faster, it's my turn.
That's perfect. So I am also eagerly awaiting my copy of Six of Crows. I'll let you know how it goes, and vice versa if you get to it before I do.
Yes, and the nice thing about it is it's a duology, so anybody who's listening to this who hasn't read them yet, you can read them both right in a row, and you don't have to go through the excruciating wait between getting the sequel like we did.
Yes, or like my husband, Scott, also read them, or at least read the first one, and like walked into the bathroom while I was showering one evening, and is like, you have ruined me. And I was like, what happened? And he's like, the book has a sequel, and it's not out until October. He was devastated that he could not read the second one immediately.
But I think all of us have felt that pain at some point or another. So he's not alone there.
He's not alone. And for being like, he is not a dramatic individual. So this like really cut him hard.
You know, it was a good book. It was like, seriously. And the way it ended was just, yeah, people should just read it. If you like young adult. If you don't like young adult, maybe you won't care for it. But super good.
So otherwise, I've just been sucked into, of course, reading all of the books on pregnancy to make sure that what is happening to me is perfectly normal and not anything to, you know, cause panic. But they're kind of boring. So anything else that you've been reading that's exciting?
Yeah. So I read a lot of stuff this summer, actually, way more than I normally would, because I was kind of cutting back on work over that time. So I'll just stick to a couple choices. My favorite nonfiction pick was How to Be Here by Rob Bell. And it's been a while since I read it. I read it back in June. And it was just one of those books where like every couple of paragraphs, there's something that you could underline or highlight or like tape on your wall, because it just had such great advice about being present in your own life and being content in where you're at, both like in your daily life and in your creative life and your work life. And I would say that maybe even he had a pretty good message about not being a slave to success, I think. So basically, he was saying that if your main goal is success, there's always going to be more success that you could keep chasing after, and it's sort of a never-ending rat race. But if you just find contentment in your present daily life, then you'll be a lot happier overall for it. And it doesn't mean that you can't still set goals and achieve things. It just means that you're just more at peace with your life. It was really what I needed to hear at the time that I read it. So I had originally read the library book, but now it's on my list of books to buy. So that's my high recommendation.
That is the mark of a good book, one that you are willing to reread again. So I'm excited. I literally picked up a copy of that from the library today. So
oh, good.
Soon. Yeah, it finally came in.
How serendipitous. That is perfect.
It is. And we did not talk about this beforehand. This is pure serendipity.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope you like it. You'll have to let us know what you think when we follow up again.
Because yes, being present and being in the here and now is very important right now while I am waiting on a baby to arrive, but also waiting for a house to be done, in which I cannot do anything for a baby until the house is done.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is tough. You, like, want to be buying things and getting the nursery ready, and there is no nursery to get ready.
There is nothing. Yes, it is currently, although it has a drywall now, so
oh, good.
It's looking slightly
this
more
is helpful. Although, yeah. As I told you already, I'll tell everybody else now, too, we finished Hadley's room literally the week before she was born. Prior to that, I mean, it had paint and it had carpet and stuff, but it was full of junk. It was like our storage room that didn't get used, and it was like part guest bedroom, part let's just shove things here. So we finally like got the crib put together and all this stuff like 6 days before she was born or something like that.
But she did come a couple weeks early, right? You weren't cutting it that close intentionally.
Right, she did come early. So, I don't know. It was, I'm glad we got it done in time. But just so you know, you've got more time maybe than you think you do. Like,
yes,
feels more pressing than it really is.
Absolutely. I've got 6 months. I'm good. I've got six months.
Yeah, you got this. And then my fiction pick, my favorite fiction book that I've read over the last couple months is Jellicoe Road by Melina Marchetta. And that is another young adult novel. I've been reading a lot of young adult novels lately, but that one is so, so good. I would say that you should read that even if you don't like young adult, because the characters are just really deep and there's sort of a mystery vibe to it almost. Even though the mystery is a little bit predictable, I think it's still really well written. It reminds me a little bit of J.K. Rowling in the way she ties certain elements of the story and certain characters together throughout the book. So I would just really highly recommend that one if you like character-driven novels. It takes a little bit to get into at the beginning, as sort of a slow start, but it's worth it in the end.
Excellent. Adding that to the list right now. So can always do for another good YA suggestion.
Yeah, I know. I was looking back at my list of like books that I've read this summer and all my notes on them and stuff. And I was like, there were some definite misses, but there were some really, really good ones in there too.
And I would say the same. There's a couple books that I was like, meh, I won't recommend that to anybody. But I think the books that like outweighed those were really, really worth it. So you have to read a lot of books to find good ones, I guess. I don't know.
And I always feel so awkward because one of the books that I really didn't like came highly recommended by somebody on social media. And it's someone that I know in real life, but I saw the recommendation on their Facebook or something, I think. And it was like, oh, so I grabbed this book and I was like, I really did not enjoy this. I think I gave it like 1 or 2 stars on Goodreads. Well, it must have been 2 stars because I very rarely give ones.
It always kind of hurts me a little to give someone like a 1 or 2 star review because I'm like, they tried really hard. I'm sure it just wasn't good.
Yeah, I think I've only ever given one book a 1 star review. So and that one, I think, truly earned it.
OK.
Yeah, but this so then I always feel awkward because I'm like, oh, this person like recommended this book with their whole heart. And I'm like, I did not enjoy this.
Yeah, that's never a good time. So
yeah. Just have to avoid bringing it up in conversation, but mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's sort of what we've been up to for the last couple months, you know, building houses, babies, reading books, not writing as much as we thought we were going to.
That summarizes everything completely, so.
Yeah, but there are some of you guys that I follow along with on Instagram, and I know because we have, like, conversations about the podcast, so I know you listen, and some of you have done some really awesome creative things over the last couple of months, so I'm glad that the hiatus wasn't totally, like, an empty season for everybody. And especially not for our guests, because there were some of them who've done some truly amazing things and taken some pretty big leaps in the last few months. So we're excited to get you caught up with them again.
Absolutely. And if you guys have done anything cool and big over our break or your own creative break over the summer, definitely share it with us, either by tweeting at us or hashtagging anything with hashtag chasing creative. And we'll definitely see that and see what you've been up to. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, so we'll leave you with a little teaser for the first episode that we're going to be releasing in this next season of Chasing Creative. We're going to be catching up again with Amy Lynn Hayes, who I can't remember off the top of my head now which episode she was in. But she was a travel writer, and she was working for a luxury travel company based out of Florida, and she has actually left that job to start her own creative business project, and we're pretty excited to share that with you in our next episode.
Yeah, so stay tuned, and you can hear all about the big changes in Amy's life, and we will catch up with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeps or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast, or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.